Hello. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. But what I do have is a very specific set of skills that I learned from this podcast. Subscribe to With All Due Respect today on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Then you will have a very specific set of skills, too.
In a quick hit, a huge education court decision this week. This week, an Anchorage Superior Court judge ruled that public money spent to reimburse parents for their child's educator-related expenses are unconstitutional. A decision with potentially huge impacts, but a decision nonetheless, many foretold a decade ago when the original legislation was passed. Joining us for this quick hit is Scott Kendall, attorney for the parents and teachers who filed suit in this case. No idle chatter, all the chatter that matters. Scott, what was the basis of the judge's decision?
Yeah, so Alaska has a unique constitution among other states. It both guarantees that public education shall be provided, and it actually absolutely prohibits any public funds ever being spent for private educational institutions, whether they're private or religious or both. It can't be spent that way. So this bill that was challenged was passed in 2014, and then Senator Dunleavy proposed it, a correspondence school program that would allow reimbursement of any expense, and specifically including tuition and expenses paid by a parent to a private school. And so in a nutshell, he created what you'd call a voucher program. This was a shadow voucher program, just didn't go by that name. The interesting thing is as he was working on this legislation, he knew it was unconstitutional. He testified in committee, this is unconstitutional. So he paired it with a proposed constitutional amendment that would delete the restriction from our constitution. So that constitutional amendment died, but Dunleavy got the language inserted into another bill, a giant omnibus education bill, and sort of no one noticed. And so that language sat there in law for years, until just a few years ago, basically folks started broadly using this to enroll their kids in a school, and usually through a charter school, and then they would have their individual learning plan say that they were going to enroll in a private school. They would pay their private school tuition, and they would get reimbursed up to 90% of their child's BSA. And so very quickly, that grew to a point where the best estimates are $50 to $90 million per year could have been spent that way. On top of that is this issue, not a constitutional issue, but a waste issue, is the statute was written such that the Department of Education could not put any restrictions on the expenses. So we have credible reports of a parent who said, my kids are going to build planters for a project. He buys a chop saw. He keeps it. We have credible reports of parents who took their kids on vacation, parents who bought ski passes for the family. One family apparently built an entire beekeeping operation and called it an educational expense. And again, this is state funds that went out the door for all these expenses. So in addition to private schools being subsidized, we had enormous waste that the Department of Education was actually specifically prohibited from monitoring. This really all shifted when the private schools themselves began to actively advertise and promote this practice. There's a school here in Anchorage where when you enrolled with them, they would automatically co-enroll you into the correspondence program, and then basically you'd get your allotment as a discount against your tuition. And the Attorney General's own wife, Jody Taylor, published an article and said, step by step, here is how you do this. Here is how we, the Taylor family, are going to get $8,000 per year of state money paid towards our private school tuition. And once it elevated to that level and we began to realize that double-digit percentages of our students were doing this and it was public money, that is when this case was filed.
Okay, so how does the judge's decision affect the current education system? I mean, you have another 2 months left in the school year. How does this affect the current education school year?
Well, the judge in this case correctly concluded that this shadow voucher program directly violates the Alaska Constitution. And again, this shouldn't surprise anyone because then Senator Dunleavy himself testified, what I propose is unconstitutional under our current constitution. So there was even two separate alleged legal opinions at the time that said this. So this wasn't a political decision. So the problem we've got now is that the 2014 legislation broke the correspondence program in Alaska. It created such a mush and it's so directly on a collision course with our Constitution that the judge said, I can't fix this for you. That's the legislature's job. All I can tell you is this does not pass constitutional muster. So what we've got right now, absent a stay or some other agreement, is that the correspondence program itself, allotments towards homeschooling, even legitimate homeschooling, is now void. There may be some discussion of perhaps staying the decision at least through the end of the school year, so, you know, that we don't disrupt current education. But at the end of the day, homeschooling, in terms of the correspondence school, is gone in Alaska law, and it's got to be fixed.
Okay, let's go to the final question I have for you, is where do we go from here, right? You know these cases, you know better than anybody how these cases, there's going to be an appeals process, and where does this go? And in the meantime, the legislature is out there, they can take action. Where do we go from here as a state?
So at this point, and you know, the calendar is tough because we're 4 weeks away probably from the end of the legislative session, and the legislature is the only one who can fix this. They craft laws, and because of this decision, of course, the entire correspondence program is gone. And that impacts students, unfortunately, even those students and parents who were using the system lawfully, were using it the way that you and I would all agree they should be able to. They had a kid at home. You know, they probably got paid for some technology services, maybe an inexpensive laptop, the kinds of things they need to actually truly participate. And that program is gone. So in the next 4 weeks, the legislature has to step up, pass a bill that can pass constitutional muster, and rebuild the correspondence program with the constitutional sideboards in mind. The real danger here, though, however, is that the legislature typically is told not to legislate in the midst of litigation. So, for example, they tried to hold a hearing the other day in the House. The chair of the committee, C.J. McCormick, was sort of rolled by his committee because he was trying to hold a hearing on prison deaths, and members of the committee waived alleged legal opinion that said, "Hey, man, you can't have a hearing when there's active litigation because there's active litigation about these deaths." So, really, the Dunleavy administration has the keys to their own prison here. If they decide to abide by the judge's very clear ruling and say, we are not going to appeal, then the legislature can tackle this issue right away. If the Dunleavy administration in my mind, of course, and we've all got opinions, but I think if they wrongheadedly decide to engage in a doomed appeal, the legislature may say, we cannot legislate this because you have put it into litigation context, and we don't legislate on matters like that. So if the legislature is ready to pass a bill and the governor is ready to lay down his sword on the litigation and come to the table, this could get fixed. You know, a replacement statute could literally be drafted in an hour, 90 minutes. It's not complicated to put those constitutional sideboards into the old bill. But the question is, you know, will the Dunleavy administration come to the bargaining table or will they go to war? And no one knows that answer but members of the administration.
Okay, so let me just sum this up before we say our goodbyes. Governor Mike Dunleavy, as Senator Mike Dunleavy, passes a piece of legislation 10 years ago. He testifies in committee. He knows it's unconstitutional. 10 years later, the court has found that it is indeed unconstitutional. Now, at this very moment, Governor Mike Dunleavy has two options. Number one, he can recognize that he has clearly and intentionally violated the Constitution of Alaska, and he can pull back and just accept the verdict. Or number two, he can continue to push on to a case that undoubtedly the Alaska State Supreme Court is going to say you have violated the Constitution. So right now, this isn't about lawmakers. As far as I'm concerned, this is about the man himself, the governor, the man at the bully pulpit. This is all up to him. right? I mean, if that's what I'm hearing from you, Scott Kendall, that right now the ball is in the governor's court, and for all of those parents out there that are twisting sideways in the winds and wondering how this court verdict is going to affect their pocketbooks and their child's education, right now Governor Mike Dunleavy can fix this. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, the governor has two very clear and stark choices at this point. He can appeal and probably lose that appeal, but in the midst of that appeal, nothing gets solved, and the homeschool program is gone for all parents, even law-abiding parents and families. Or he can come to the bargaining table. He can accept the court's judgment tomorrow, and he can tell legislators, let's come to the table, let's craft a solution. And that's the choice in front of him. And it will largely, his choice will dictate whether there's homeschool for kids that's available next year or not.
Scott Kendall, thank you.
Thank you.